This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Back in the summer of 2009, President Obama's health care legislation and fervent opposition to it were all the news. Democratic members of Congress, home for the August recess, were surprised at town hall meetings by angry constituents who saw Obama's proposal as a government takeover. And that frustration over health care helped water the first grassroots of the Tea Party movement, which in turn catapulted the Republican takeover of the U.S. House in 2010. Now, a year later, as GOP candidates campaign for president, they all denounce the law they label Obamacare, calling it a train wreck, a huge power grab by the government, and socialism. And they've all promised that repealing the law would be their first priority as president. What they would offer instead on health care is a set of wide-ranging free market proposals. These include anything from tort reform to health savings accounts to small business purchasing pools. Today in The Exchange, our Issue Tuesday series continues. This week, we're looking at where the Republican candidates stand on health care, and let's hear from you. If you're planning to vote in the Republican primary, what direction do you want these candidates to take on health care? How important is this issue to you overall in the election? What ideas from these GOP contenders sound as if they might improve our health care system, and which do not? Give us a call, The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests. Joining us from D.C. is Marilyn Werber-Serafini. She's a reporter for Kaiser Health News, a nonprofit news agency whose articles appear in media outlets nationwide. And Marilyn, great to have you. Thanks for your time.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Also with us from Durham, Andy Smith, Associate Professor of Political Science at UNH and Director of the UNH Survey Center. And Andy, welcome back. Good to have you, too.
Good morning.
Well, and let's have you put on your Survey Center hat for just a moment, if we could, Andy. How important is this issue of health care to New Hampshire Republican primary voters this year?
Well, it's not that important. It's only 4% of New Hampshire primary voters on the Republican side say that this is the most important issue that's going to determine their vote for their nominee for president. That said, that doesn't mean that hasn't been unimportant in the campaign. And even among the Republican side, we haven't seen the level of importance of this issue that we have seen among Democrats. 4 years ago, in the heart of all of the healthcare debate and the lead up into the 2008 primary, only 8% of Republican primary voters said that healthcare was the most important issue. So it's largely been a back burner issue, but that doesn't mean that there are some aspects of it, particularly for Gingrich and Romney, that are going to flare up.
And we'll definitely key into that in a couple minutes, Andy. What about 2 years ago? I mean, usually when we do these programs, we look from one presidential election to the next. But it seems to me 2 years ago, healthcare was a huge issue in the elections.
Well, we saw 2 years ago that healthcare became a very important issue for Republicans in that they were opposed to the Obama plan for it. What we saw with the Tea Party in New Hampshire, as well as in the neighboring state of Massachusetts with the Scott Brown election, is that it was one of the catalysts issues that led to the real energy of the Tea Party getting formed. It was cited in national polls and even some of our polls as one of the major reasons that Republicans were angry with the administration and wanting to get out and vote against Democrats in that 2010 election. So it really got the energy and the juices flowing for the Republicans.
What about this year, Andy? Do you think it's getting the juices flowing among Republican primary voters like it used to?
Not as much, because we're seeing it in a primary election this year, not in a general election context. In the fall, I think we will definitely see this issue raise its head again. But right now in the primary context, it's being more used as a way to for some of the candidates to distinguish themselves from other candidates based on their past positions and past legislative history on the health care issue. But it's not the issue. It's maybe an issue that is dampening support for some of the candidates, but it's not that really divisive issue that we will see it be in the general election.
Well, Marilyn, bringing you into this, you've been looking at this for a long time. How do you see health care changing in terms of its prominence before voters, especially Republican primary voters?
Well, it's interesting. health care for Republicans is a lot different in the primaries than it is in the general election. But, you know, as Andy was saying, this did become an issue for Republicans in the 2010 midterm elections, simply because of the new health care law, and also because there was a lot of discussion about Medicare, and seniors became a very important voting bloc in the 2010 midterm elections, the congressional elections. In fact, the Republicans in that election definitely had the winning message. They were very critical of Democrats, they claimed, who wanted to cut $500 billion out of the Medicare program. And that message really resonated with seniors in the 2010 elections. There are many Republican freshmen in Congress who will say absolutely without a doubt that that is what got them elected.
Interesting. So, Marilyn, how do you hear the candidates this time for president talking about Medicare as they talk overall about health care?
Well, you know, there's another dynamic going into this election that we didn't have in 2010. In 2010, the Republicans had the very winning message of Democrats, you cut $500 billion out of our Medicare. Whether true or not, it was a winning message. You know, fast forward, and over the past year, you had the House of Representatives pass a budget or approve a budget that included some very interesting and controversial Medicare proposals from Congressman Paul Ryan, who is the chairman, the Republican chairman of the House Budget Committee. And, you know, he wanted to do things like raise the eligibility age of Medicare, and he wanted to create a so-called premium support plan, which would, in essence, it would limit the amount of money that the federal government would spend on Medicare, not for current retirees or those who are nearing Medicare age, but for everybody else, it could mean paying more for Medicare.
That was called a voucher program, Marilyn, right?
Well, there are some fine distinctions between vouchers and premium support, but you can put them in the same general category. Well, this did not resonate well with voters, and people, the public generally did not support, and I'm not talking about just Democrats, but Republicans out there also generally did not like the idea. They don't like the idea of raising the eligibility age. It's even more significant for the senior population. They just don't like this idea. So while the Republicans have been, especially the Republicans in the center, the voters in the center, the swing voters, have in recent years been moving right of center. The big question is whether this issue of the Ryan plan, and the House actually passes, the Republican-controlled House passed this plan, whether that is going to put Republicans in trouble in this election. And, you know, as Andy said, this is not a top issue. Healthcare is not a top issue for Republicans. But seniors do care about this. They care about it greatly.
And, Andy, to you, you know, in rundowns that I've seen of where the candidates stand on healthcare, it does seem like this Ryan proposal is almost being used as a litmus test on where you stand on healthcare and Medicare. How much is this tricky ground for candidates, given what Marilyn told us about the power of the senior vote?
Well, it's very tricky ground, largely because it conflates two issues. The one issue is health care and provision of health care and the basic things that particularly seniors rely on the services from the government. But the second aspect of it that it's being tied in with the Ryan plan is what to do about the federal debt and federal deficit and long-term federal debt and increasing spending on these programs that's projected out into the future. So it's not just providing health care. It's not just getting those services out. It's how to pay off the debt. And that means that there are two overlapping but distinct constituencies that are going to play into this. In the Republican primary, I think Republicans are safer to go with to favor the constituency that favors that wants to cut the deficit and wants to cut the debt. Those are the people, including Tea Party folks, who are really energized, they're still concerned about that overall issue of the size of government, the scope of government, and the amount of money that's being spent.
Well, and it's interesting, you know, and we've got so much to talk about besides Medicare in terms of how these Republicans would approach overall health care, but I did want to ask you one last question again on this issue of the Ryan plan being a kind of litmus test and a tricky issue for the Republicans. Here's Newt Gingrich, who got into trouble, Marilyn, for speaking out earlier in the campaign, calling the Ryan plan a big jump and radical. Then we've got Michelle Bachmann, who voted for it, but then later qualified her support, saying she thought it could hurt senior citizens. And we've got Mitt Romney, who says, yes, he would sign the Ryan proposal, but also pledged to put forward his own plan for reforming Medicare. This is directly from Kaiser Health News, Marilyn. So I think the research that you folks have done shows that, you know, candidates are approaching this very lightly, if I could put it that way.
Right. You know, they're being very careful about this Ryan issue. Well, some of them are. You know, but generally speaking, most of the Republican candidates have embraced the Ryan plan to a certain extent. You know, the most vocal candidates who have come out with absolute support for the plan have been Herman Cain, Huntsman, Santorum. But then you've got another couple who have offered qualified support. For instance, Michelle Bachmann voted for it, but she later qualified her support saying, well, it could hurt some seniors. And Romney said, yes, I would sign this. But he also said, you know, if I could create my own plan, I would. But if I didn't have my own plan in place, if that wasn't an option, I would support it. Then you've got Newt Gingrich, who has called it radical and said, I absolutely would not do this. And then you've got Perry, who has said, well, you know, my first choice is just to let states and opt out of Medicare altogether. He'd rather not have a government Medicare program. So you're all over the board, but that said, in general, the group as a whole generally supports some of the concepts that Ryan has supported, and that is somehow limiting what the amount of money that Medicare would spend. Currently, you know, that's a radical change, because currently what you have is Medicare is considered has a guaranteed set of benefits that are available to beneficiaries, and whatever the government has to spend, it spends that amount of money in order to provide those benefits, which is why we call it an entitlement program.
All right.
This would radically change that.
After a short break, we will look at some of the other health care proposals that are being debated in this Republican primary, and we'll take your calls, too. So join us, 1-800-892-6477, and we'll be right back.
Good morning, it's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from you, our members. And support also comes to us from Antioch University, New England in Keene, educating practitioner scholars with their doctoral program in clinical psychology. Information at antiochne.edu. From Holloway Motor Cars of Manchester, authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer, featuring the 2012 S550 luxury sedan with fuel-efficient twin-turbo engine and iconic design, benzcars.com. And Hanover Street Chop House in Manchester, fine dining and inspired cuisine in a salon-like setting, reminiscent of an old-world steakhouse. Menu and reservations at hanoverstreetchophouse.com. More on where the Republican presidential candidates stand on health care on The Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, the race for the Republican presidential nomination. New Hampshire weather today, partly sunny, highs from 40 to 45 for most of the state, 35 to 40 across northern parts of the state. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, our Issue Tuesday series continues with looking at what the Republican presidential primary candidates are saying about health care. Let's hear from you. If you're planning to vote in this Republican primary, what do you want to hear these candidates saying on health care? Overall, how important is this issue to you? And what ideas are you hearing from these contenders that sound good to you, and which do you find less appealing? Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests, Marilyn Werber-Serafini, reporter for Kaiser Health News, and Andy Smith, associate professor of political science at UNH and director of the UNH Survey Center. And to both of you, before we go to the calls, Andy, when healthcare comes up in these presidential debates, and it has come up, not as much as some other issues, but it has come up, sometimes it seems to me, Andy, it's not so much their platforms now that are being discussed, it's what they've said and done in the past on this issue. How much, Andy, are voters looking at that past versus what they're saying now? How are they to weigh, well, he says he'll do this now, but, you know, when he was governor, he did this?
That's the big problem, and I think that's the major concern about health care, in that it's being used in the debates and it's being used by the candidates not as a policy issue so much as an issue that defines the character of the candidate. Will the candidate change their minds on some basic core beliefs about the role of government? And I think that's what's the problem that both Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich in particular, the two have been most outspoken and best known for their health care involvement in the past, face. It's not so much that they advocated plans that may be unpopular now. It's that they have changed their positions as time has changed, the importance of the issue has changed, as the sense of the issue has changed, and the politics have definitely changed on this issue with the passage of President Obama's plan. So I think it's become a character issue and a litmus test issue on your steadfastness to small government principles, less so about the actual policy of health care.
And both of them, Andy, in the past have supported the idea of a mandate for health insurance, that everybody carry it. What are they saying about that now, and does that matter, or does that pass stick to them like glue no matter what they do?
Oh, I think the mandate is the fundamental issue here, of telling people that they must be involved in something that affects all of our lives, health care. It's not as if it's something you can avoid. So the mandate issue, I think, is the major problem with for both Gingrich and Romney, that they've advocated this. And especially when you have a candidate like Ron Paul, who we really haven't talked about, but a candidate who has been really the most consistent on this issue, that he doesn't favor any type of governmental involvement with health care, and that he's also, as a doctor, he speaks with a little bit more, I don't want to say authority necessary, but certainly practical experience on the issue. So if you've got Ron Paul over there saying no involvement with healthcare in the government, and it makes it easy to beat up on Romney and Gingrich for the positions they've taken in the past.
Well, and Marilyn, to you, how much are these candidates sticking to what they've always said and always done on healthcare, and how much are some of them wearing new clothes?
Well, you know, it's been very interesting to watch the last couple of debates, because, you know, as Andy was saying, they're really the everyone except Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. They've all been trying to pin the two of them together as flip-floppers. In fact, in the last debate, you know, Bachman has started just calling them Newt Romney.
Yes, I got those emails.
Yes, one part, you know, one entity, and then Perry also in the last debate accused Mitt Romney of, in his book, originally saying, "Well, look, yes, I had the individual mandate, and now I think it's a nationwide model." You know, Romney, fired back, "You know, this was not in my original book," and he even offered a $10,000 bet to Perry, which Perry, of course, declined. But this is what's happening. They're trying to pin these guys on the positions they took before. So in reality, what we have is, yes, of course, Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts. He did sign this law that gave most people in Massachusetts, required them to have health insurance. But what he has said since then is, this is not something that I thought would be a national model. I think every state is different, and what works for Massachusetts might not work for the rest of the country. Now, at the time, and I was covering the Massachusetts law at the time, there were other differences as well. And if we want to offer a reality check, Mitt Romney made it very clear at the time that he did not support a mandate on employers to have to offer insurance or pay a penalty. And there were other aspects of the law that he did not like. Nevertheless, he signed it. He did support an individual mandate. The real question now is whether he ever called it a national model. As far as Newt Gingrich is concerned, yes, he absolutely did support an individual mandate for people to buy require them to buy insurance. He did so during the early 1990s when the Clintons were trying to pass a health reform law in Washington. Now, look, he made it clear, and he said in the last debate And he said in other debates as well that virtually every conservative saw the mandate as an alternative, a less dangerous option than what the Clintons were trying to do. So he does not offer any apologies for doing that at the time. But he said he very quickly after that, it became clear to him that mandates had all sorts of problems, and that he, then abandoned the concept and that he no longer thinks that. So in some ways, you've got two different things going on. You've got Romney saying, okay, I did it, but I never saw it as a national model. And there's a real discrepancy there. But with Newt, he's coming in and he's saying, look, I changed my mind. It seemed right at the time. It doesn't seem right now.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Again, our number, 1-800-892-6477. Join us with your questions, comments, observations about where these Republican presidential candidates stand on health care. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. And first up is Chris, waiting in Newmarket. Hi, Chris. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The callers have done a great job, actually, of answering some of my original question, which was to go over some of how the candidates currently felt about the government influence in our healthcare system. I guess what I'd like to know is, what do they see, or are there any real ideas out there? That I hear them say things like, let the free market determine it. I'm concerned about that and things like insurance companies having too much say. So are there any original ideas or anything that they're putting forward that would combat, say, something as grand as the healthcare plan that Obama put forward?
Okay, Chris, thanks a lot for calling. And turning to both of you, Marilyn, I think you first, are there specific proposals being talked about beyond I don't like Obama's plan and I'll repeal it?
There's not a whole lot. When they talk about there are some general themes. For instance, all of the candidates have talked about expanding health savings accounts, giving, again, this is all geared toward free market, getting the government as much as possible out of health care. So the ways they talk about doing that are expanding health savings accounts. These are the high deductible health care plans that come along with a tax preferred savings account that either the individual or the individual and the employer together, maybe some government involvement, start up this account. It's tax preferred and they spend through it, and then they get to a more traditional kind of health plan. A lot of them have also talked about giving everyone the same kinds of tax advantages. Currently, if you get your health care through an employer, you get a tax exclusion. But people who buy plans individually don't get the same tax advantage.
So a tax credit if you're self-employed, you're an entrepreneur.
It might be a tax credit. It might be some kind of a deduction. It's not clear how it would work. But in other words, if you buy a plan, they're saying it shouldn't matter whether you were doing it on your own, whether you're doing it through your employer, you should get a tax advantage, not just if you get it through your employer as it currently stands. Just about all of them say you should be able to buy insurance across state lines. Currently, you can't do that. They're saying that would make it more competitive, bring down the costs. And generally, most of them believe, I think they all believe, that small businesses should be able to pull together to have the leverage to purchase insurance so that would also help bring down prices. Beyond that, there isn't a whole lot. The candidate who's gone the furthest is Newt Gingrich. In fact, he has been partnering quite a bit with John Goodman, who is a think tank. He heads up a think tank in Dallas called the National Center for Policy Analysis, and Newt speaks with him fairly regularly. And what he has done, in fact, they've written op-eds together. What he has done is he has gone the furthest, and he says once this is gone, what we should do is have a plan where you give
You know what, Marilyn? That's okay, because there's a lot that these candidates are talking about.
Sorry.
Lots of specific ideas.
I've actually got the idea. what he has said was he wants to offer everyone a refundable tax credit. He's thinking it could be about $2,500 for an individual, about $8,000 for a family. And basically what you'd be doing is you'd be replacing all the current subsidies that the new health care law would be providing starting in 2014. Get rid of all that and instead offer everybody a tax credit so that they can buy insurance on their own. Now, if someone turns down the tax credit, they decide they don't want to have insurance, then that's okay. You can do that. The government would still provide that tax credit, but what they would do is take that money and give it instead to the safety net institutions, for instance, the public hospitals.
Those who are taking in and providing free care for those who don't have insurance.
Exactly.
You know, this is real interesting. And actually, I saw a lot of this on Kaiser Health News. There are a lot of proposals there working with the tax system and so forth. And Andy Smith, I wonder, what do you make of the overall approach of these proposals that Marilyn is describing for us?
Well, I think one of the things, and I'm not a healthcare economist, but one of the things that definitely comes up with this is that there is a political dimension, and then there's the policy dimension. The one thing that I'm hearing consistently among the Republican candidates this time around that we did not hear in the 2008 debate is a focus on the cost of healthcare, and most importantly, the idea of third-party payers and what happens when you have a third-party payer system. By that, you mean you've got the provider being one party, the user of healthcare being the second party, and then the insurance companies or the government being the third party. And economists will tell you that in third-party payer systems, quality typically is pretty good because everybody can shop around for the best quality, but the problem is there's no cost control. And that points out the major political difference that we see on this issue between Republicans and Democrats. We did polling on this. It was back in the context of 2008, but there are some fascinating differences. First, Republicans thought that the problem with health care is cost. 69% of Republican primary voters back then said cost is the major issue with health care, whereas Democrats thought it was insurance coverage, so coverage for more people. 51% cited insurance coverage as the major issue with health care. And then underlying that is the fundamental idea of who's responsible to do this. And I think this is the thing that's being debated most within the Republican context this year. Among Republicans, only 30% said the government is responsible for providing health care for people. 65% said no, they're not. Among Democrats, 80% said that the government is responsible for providing health care. Only 17% have not. So we've got this kind of dimension about what is the proper role for government? What should they do? Then the third-party payer issue and the cost issue. And that's, I think, why we're seeing such differences between the two parties, less so between the Republicans. I think the Republicans are all trying to get to a similar position that kind of is in the middle of that debate within the Republican Party about some responsibility for health care for those who can't provide it on their own, but recognizing that the distortions that come to a market when you have a third-party payer system, as well as the mandate issue of forcing people to buy something that they don't want.
Yeah, it's tricky, Andy. So even though there are large majorities of Republican voters who say no, the government shouldn't be responsible for providing health care, you don't see most of these Republican candidates saying, you know, let's get rid of Medicare and let's get rid of Medicaid.
No, that would be political suicide.
Do you want to jump in there, Marilyn?
Yeah, first of all, I agree that that would be political suicide. And that's why, even though these candidates have come out for a lot of the Paul Ryan concepts and some of them have outright supported him, they are concerned. They know who they're talking to. They know they're talking to their conservative base when they do this. When they come out in the general elections, I would bet we're going to hear them talking a lot less about these options. Because they do, seniors do care about this issue of Medicare, they understand. They understand the problems with this. Look, this again, back to 2010, this is the issue that a lot of the Republican freshmen in the House feel got them elected, was their ability to say, we are your Medicare champion, not the Democrats.
Interesting. Well, if you could both, and I'll turn to you first, Andy, if you could just take these candidates and put them on a spectrum, with one end being no government involvement at all in healthcare, and at the other end, some government involvement, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, rules surrounding insurance companies and what they can and cannot do. That's the other end of the spectrum, okay, Andy? So who's at one end and who's at the other end?
Well, it's pretty easy to see the person on the one end. That's Ron Paul. He certainly occupies the poll that says government is not responsible. Government should not do this. And frankly, the government does a bad job and makes things worse for many people and for the healthcare system as a whole. He makes a strong free market or a consistent free market case for no governmental involvement in healthcare. On the other end, it gets kind of squishy, and it depends on what facet and what aspect of healthcare that you see. You don't see very many of the Republicans at all, of the major Republicans, Romney and Gingrich in particular, now at the top of the heap, who are really advocating any sort of government retreat from providing health care for elderly and seniors, elderly and the poor, particularly elderly, because they know that the senior citizens vote. If you're Ron Paul, you've got a smallish constituency, even within the Republican primary electorate, and you're not really having those illusions of winning the nomination. The other guys have to think beyond the primary cycle and go to the general election. And there, I think that you're seeing all of the other candidates somewhat huddling around not change things too much position.
What about John Huntsman, Marilyn? Where would he be on this spectrum?
Well, you know, Huntsman actually has quite a bit of experience when it comes to healthcare, and he has a track record. You know, he did health reform in Utah when he was governor there, and he likes to actually say that, look, I actually increased healthcare coverage in my state, and in fact, he pointed to Perry in the I think it was the last debate or one of the last debates, and said, look, you are at the bottom of the heap. You only have 25% insurance in Texas. I did better than that, and guess what? I didn't do it with an individual mandate or anything like that. What he did was he created a system of some subsidies for people to help them buy insurance. These are the lower income folks. He also set up an exchange, a health insurance purchasing exchange.
One of the first states to do so, right?
That's right. One of the first states to do so. It's important to note that it's very different than the exchange that Massachusetts set up. You know, we're going to have exchanges in just about every state come 2014, and we're going to see very different kinds of exchanges. What Utah did is a very...
And Marilyn, I'm so sorry, I got to cut you off there, but coming up after a break, we'll finish up and we'll start taking more of your calls, so keep it right here.
Today on Word of Mouth, scientists are abuzz over Kepler-22b. We'll hear about the newly discovered planet being called Earth's twin, plus the Brooklyn Beard Off, a contest even Santa could appreciate. And food writer J.M. Hirsch rounds up the best and worst cookbooks of 2011. I'm Virginia Prescott. Word of Mouth turns the burners up today at noon and again at 9 p.m. on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Altus Investment Group in Concord, helping individuals in central New Hampshire manage their old 401ks and develop a personal retirement plan online at altusinvest.com. And Tully BMW celebrating the opening of their certified pre-owned sales and factory warranty service center in Manchester. Additional information at tullybmw.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, our annual holiday book show. We'll get the latest on the books to give and get as gifts this year. Email us your ideas before the show at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, our presidential primary series, Issue Tuesday, continues with an analysis of where the Republican presidential contenders stand on health care. You can join our conversation. Call in. What ideas from these GOP contenders sound as if they might improve our health care system, and which do not? if you're planning to vote in the Republican primary, what direction do you want these candidates to take on health care? Overall, what do you want to hear them saying on this issue? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. And Andy Smith and Marilyn, we've been talking about where the candidates fit on this overall sort of philosophical healthcare spectrum, both in terms of what they're saying and what they've done in the past. And Andy, so we've put Ron Paul on one end, maybe John Huntsman on the other end. Not really sure about Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. We've talked about that earlier. What about Santorum, Bachman, and Perry, Andy? Where would you put these folks on this spectrum that we're drawing?
I would say they lean individually. I guess you pull apart some of their specific proposals, but I'd say that they're a little bit in the we need to do major reform. We're against the president's proposal. We don't like the idea of mandates. But I don't think any of these candidates, because of their past electoral experience, is in a position to say that they are either the Ron Paul end of saying no governmental involvement, or at the Democratic end, but even at the Huntsman end, where they're actually in a position to point to things that they've done. They're kind of in that middle, and I think they're bouncing around. I think that what they're trying to do is hope that Gingrich and Romney take the heat on this issue and allow them to kind of slide through.
Stay below the radar. Marilyn, go ahead.
And, you know, Laura, I think it's important to note that, you know, we're talking about a spectrum that actually isn't very wide. You might have,
that's often the case in primaries, though, right?
Right. I think that's right. So you might have Ron Paul on one end. You could potentially put, you know, Huntsman on the other end, or Newt Gingrich toward the other side of that end. But really, the spectrum is fairly narrow. They all tend to follow the same concepts. They want less government and health care. It's just a matter of degree, and it's not very much.
Again, our phone number is 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange at nhpr.org. And let's see, waiting in Derry is Charlie. Hi, Charlie, you're on the air. Go ahead. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning.
Morning.
Mr. Romney has repeatedly said that he supported the mandate in Massachusetts, but he wouldn't necessarily support it somewhere else. The implication to me is saying that Massachusetts is very different. I'd like to ask Marilyn if demographically, in terms of health providers, whatever, is, not politically, just on the health care issue, is there any reason why the mandate that's in place in Massachusetts would not fit other states?
Thanks a lot for the call, Charlie. I appreciate it. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Right. Well, Massachusetts was in a very different position than just about any other state. And frankly, the reason why Massachusetts went this direction in the first place was because it had a lot of federal money that was coming to the state that it was about to lose. And the Bush administration at the time told Romney that if you don't do something to radically change your system, then you are going to lose that money. Now, Massachusetts, from the very beginning, had more government money on the table, so it made it a lot easier to do this. If you put Massachusetts next to a state like Texas that has 25% on insurance, it would be much harder to do this kind of legislation in that state simply because of the money. You don't have as much money, federal money, coming in as Massachusetts had. Massachusetts also had a lot fewer uninsured people than just about any other state. So when they talk about covering everyone, well, they had less distance to go from the beginning. So when he says, is it different than other states? Absolutely. Very different.
Interesting. So when they started this whole thing, Marilyn, I think they were at 90-something. And now they're at 98. So interesting. And I did not know about that federal money. Quick question for you, Andy, and then we'll go back to our callers. And we've heard Mitt Romney, you know, say this before, that it worked for Massachusetts, but I would never impose that on all the other states as president. How are voters perceiving that, Andy?
Well,
again, Republican primary voters here.
Again, that's the big problem that Romney has had throughout this campaign, is how to explain to an electorate that doesn't want to hear about mandates or governmental success at all, how do you explain to them why you did something in one state, which seems to imply that it would work other places, and why you don't want to do it in other places. So again, it's for Romney, it's the what he's tried to do is really push the 10th Amendment argument. You know, that states are the laboratories of policy, laboratories of democracy. They're all different. They let the governors know what they want to do in those places. Don't have to build giant systems within a single state. So that's the argument that Romney's using to try to get out of this. Whether it succeeds is really tenuous. I think he's actually, Romney's in better shape now by having Gingrich in the mix as one of the top candidates, because it helps deflect this issue a little bit away from him and onto the other front runner. So it diffuses it a little bit for Romney.
Given the lack of clarity on where Gingrich stands on this issue of an individual mandate, Andy.
Absolutely, yes.
Let's take another call. This is Zach in Manchester. Hi, Zach, you're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a college student from Union College. I'm here studying the presidential primary. I recently attended a town hall with John Huntsman in which he stated that we should model our own reforms on the Swiss system of healthcare. But then I went out and researched the Swiss system, and I found out some interesting things. It's less market-oriented than the Affordable Care Act. Companies can't make profit on the sale of social health insurance, and they also have an individual mandate and public subsidies for low-income individuals. What do you think of this? How does this mesh with what Governor Huntsman has said before on healthcare?
Wow, and Zach, an A-plus for paying attention and digging into the issue for you. Thanks a lot for calling in. Marilyn?
Well, you know, I'm not sure exactly what you're asking, but, you know, Huntsman, he has had, again, we have to look back at his track record. Everything is really about his track record. And, you know, he has done quite a bit. You have to measure everything up to what he's done. He's established an exchange, an insurance exchange. He's created tax credits for individuals. He began setting up electronic medical records. So I don't know if that helps.
So that's an idea that, you know, he has gone a little further. Again, if we're putting people on a spectrum, he might be on the other end from Ron Paul.
I think that's right. Yeah,
he's got one problem in that I don't think among Republicans, citing any European model isn't going to be a very attractive thing to do.
Right.
I think Republicans right now think that Europe equals socialism equals bad, and they're not going to be too supportive of that if it comes out. But Huntsman is also in a position where he needs to do something to distinguish himself from the other candidates on all of these issues. And if it's discussed and talked about at all, or as like this student has done, gone out and researched it and got some more information about it, I think it probably only helps Huntsman politically to try to make a name for himself as an
right.
candidate with real ideas here.
Yeah, and you know, Laura, it is important to note that in that list of things that he did as governor, it's important to note that one of his goals was to reduce the levels of uninsurance in his state. That's not something that you hear a lot of the Republican candidates talking about. They're talking about cutting back on spending. They're talking about giving more power to the states. Every now and then you might hear a little something about the problems of the uninsured, but they mostly believe in the mostly focus their attention on the free market. Huntsman actually did have as a goal to decrease the level of uninsurance.
All right, let's take another call. Again, our number 1-800-892-6477. Zach, thanks for that one, and welcome to New Hampshire, by the way. Carl's calling from Berlin. Hi, Carl. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi. Great topic. It's very interesting. And Zach's call was a great question. I'm glad to see college students so involved and intelligent in their comments. My comment is taking it a little bit in a different direction, and I think the key to any domestic program and the sustainability of any domestic program, including health care, is our foreign policy. Our nation currently is broke. Let's face it. We are bankrupt, and maintaining perpetual warfare in several countries and giving foreign aid to nations without taking care of America and America's needs, including health care first, is a losing proposition. We, in order to maintain even the core programs, which everyone agrees on, and even the Republican candidates of Medicare and Medicaid, we need to, end the funding of these foreign wars and end the funding of foreign aid until we're sure that America is taken care of.
So, is that a vote for Ron Paul's anti-interventionist policy?
That's right. It makes sense. He's calm, intelligent, logical, and he states his point. And certainly He makes a point of it in the debates as well to say he will not cut Medicare and Medicaid. I know he's on the, you said he's on one side of the spectrum, but he is not for cutting those programs, and a gradual free market answer to them over a long period of time is what he has suggested. I think he's the only candidate that will give us hope here in this country, whether it's for domestic health care concerns or just economic prosperity.
Well, let's tie that Carl. Yeah, let's tie that foreign policy argument to the health care argument. Marilyn, real quick, what does your research say about Ron Paul on health care?
Well, actually, Ron Paul wants total out of government health care programs. He wants out of Medicare. He wants out of Medicaid. He wants to end those programs, turn those programs all together into private insurance programs. So, but you know, one of the things you talk about the nation being broke, and that's why we hear all these Republican candidates talking about. They're not talking about okay, let's end these wars or our foreign spending so that we can bring the money back to healthcare. They're talking about lowering what the federal government spends on healthcare entitlement programs altogether. They're talking about saying, okay, we're going to spend this amount of money on Medicare. We're going to let it grow this amount. And if people can't, if that results in raising premiums or other costs for individuals, then so be it. They will have to pay the additional cost. They're doing this, they're having the same discussion about Medicaid, the health care program for the poor. In fact, most, if not all, of these candidates want to block grant Medicaid, which would mean the federal government would send a certain amount of money to each state, and then the state could decide how to spend it. But again, that's a far cry from
getting rid of it altogether.
What the benefits are and saying we'll pay whatever it takes to provide those benefits.
Well, thanks for that call. And, you know, as we wrap up, Andy, looking ahead to the general election now, Democrats are saying, hey, we're going to campaign on this health care law. And they think we can win with this because the most popular elements of the new health care law are going into effect now. They're going to continue to kick in up through 2012. The more controversial idea of the individual mandate doesn't come till 2014. And, Andy, Republicans complain that, you know, Obama wrote the law this way. Give us the candy first and the medicine comes later. And this makes it tricky for them to talk about repealing the health care law. What do you think?
Well, I think that the Republicans right now have the advantage in that most people, not the people who are receiving the benefits, but most people in the country have not seen any real improvement from it. And they won't for several years because, frankly, most people don't use health care until they become very sick or in the last years of their lives. And those are the voters right now that Republicans have most energized. I think that what we're likely to see is that Republicans will use this, and I think that's one of the problems that Republicans have right now, is that they haven't seen a candidate who's quite pure enough on the issue, either with Romney or Gingrich. But I think it allows Republicans a powerful issue in the fall. That the thing that the Democrats hope for now, and I think the thing that the administration really has taken away from the last the debates over the last few weeks, is that it's going to be less important of an issue for Republicans, because what you're going to see is that Republicans candidates are going to have to defend themselves on the position and explain why their positions are different than the administration's and what that difference means. So the rule of thumb in politics is anytime you're explaining, you're losing. So the Republicans want to be able to use health care as a hammer to beat the administration over the head with, but the administration wants to use health care as kind of more of a scalpel that they can divide some voters away from, some of that energy away from Republicans.
Interesting. So anytime you have to take time out to explain, Andy, you're losing?
You're losing, yes. You want to be able to stick to your message, focus on what you want to say, and not try to explain it to other people who might criticize it or pull it apart in various ways.
Well, Marilyn, have any of these candidates talked about, once I repeal it as president, I might bring back this piece or that piece? For example, some of the rules that we hear folks do like is the rule allowing young adults up to 26 to stay on their parents' coverage, or rules surrounding insurers not being able to drop you if you get really sick. Have any candidates talked about, yeah, I'm going to repeal this law, yes, but I might bring back this piece or that piece?
There are, there is a little bit of discussion about pre-existing conditions. You know, whether that has been a thorn in most individuals' sides. So we occasionally hear that kind of talk. Well, yes, of course, maybe we still shouldn't allow the insurers to in essence, cherry pick, only take the healthy people. But we haven't heard a lot of that. Mostly the message from the Republican side has been repeal. Repeal this thing, get it out of there, it's terrible, and let's move to the market. You know, however, when we hear them say repeal, we occasionally hear repeal most of it or repeal everything that we can repeal. So they're hedging a little bit, but for the most part, they're not getting terribly specific about what they might keep. But I think it's safe to say that if there's one area that they're talking about a little bit, it's the area of pre-existing conditions, and everybody loves being able to keep their kids on insurance until the age of 26. I think they'd have a hard time getting rid of that.
All right. Well, both of you, this has been real interesting. And Marilyn, thank you so much for making the time for us this morning.
Okay, thank you.
That's Marilyn Werber-Serafini, reporter for Kaiser Health News, a news agency whose articles appear in media outlets nationwide. Andy Smith, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Andy Smith, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of New Hampshire and Director of the UNH Survey Center. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our interns are Ryan Lessard and Karen Gohl. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.